Morning. It's good to be back. Please turn to Luke chapter 24. Thank you for that singing, you guys. That was a blessing. Thank you for your preparation and the joy that you sing it with. And thank you for those who called and checked on us and brought us soup and package of cookies that came for us. I'm 100% certain that they helped. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these that you've gathered. Father, we know that it wouldn't just that we'd miss out on the friendship and love that we have with each other, even though that's good. And it wouldn't be that we would just miss the coming to church. Lord, we would be lost and speeding towards hell without you. We thank you that you've sought us out and worked in us and saved us and are saving us. Please help us as we look to your word, Father. We want to grow. We want to be better disciples. Father, we know that it's not because we were good that you chose us, but our desire is to be pleasing in your sight. Please help us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a while, so let's review. I mean, I usually do anyway, but last time we discussed the end of 23 and the beginning of chapter 24. If you remember, we read about a man named Joseph of Arimathea. We read about him again this morning. He was from Arimathea, which Luke says was a Jewish town. Why is he saying that? He must have been writing to non-Jews. And really, listen, we don't know much at all about this man. He seems to have been a member of the Sanhedrin. Most of the rulers and Jews of high standing and among the Pharisees and scribes were not fans of Jesus. They were not followers, but the Bible says that he was different. He actually was a disciple of Jesus. A good man, a righteous man, we are told. And he knew, like Pilate, that Jesus was not guilty of the charges brought against him. He did not go along with their plans. The Bible says, quote, he had not consented to their decision and action. He was looking for the kingdom of God, end quote. And it seems that this man, Joseph, he believed that with the coming of Jesus, the kingdom of God was upon them. He was looking for the kingdom, and he saw it in Jesus. And we're told that he goes and asks Pilate for the body. Now listen, this is interesting. Up until this point, we didn't know that Joseph was a believer. And I don't know that very many other people did either. He seems to have been a believer, but we don't know anything about him, and we never hear from him again after this. We don't know. But we should thank God for him. And listen, take notice. Listen, there are many that we know not that are our friends, even our brothers and sisters. You think you can see clearly? Can you? Listen, this is God's way. God has reserved, listen, more than 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. There is a great multitude of men and women and boys and girls that are being saved as we sit here. He is at work. His kingdom is advancing. In fact, he's working in you and me right now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're hearing. And by God's grace, your faith is increasing, even in this moment. And he's at work across the globe too, in places that you've never heard of. And they've never heard of Parker, Texas. Jen and I used to reflect, we'd be flying from Seoul, Korea to Cambodia. And as we're flying over these countries, you know, sometimes you can see stuff going on. We're like, man, there's a whole world going on out there. We have no idea what's going on. We're going to this little village in this one little piece of the earth. And it seems like, oh, we're world travelers. We know a little bit more than y'all. That's it. The world is massive. And God is working right now. Don't forget this. The kingdom of God is advancing. None can stay his hand. None can turn him back. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It endures. How long does it endure, Brother Bill? From generation to generation, it has no end. Why? Kingdoms have ends, not this kingdom. The king is better. He has more power. He doesn't get weak and frail as time goes on and eventually has to succumb to death and others take over his kingdom. Not so with Jesus. Don't forget, just like Joseph, there's lots of people that you don't know God's saving, but he is. He is. Verse 53, Joseph watched, helped with the removal of Jesus' body from the cross. His body is wrapped in a linen shroud. He's laid in a tomb cut in stone that was actually prepared for Joseph himself. He gave Jesus his tomb. And in a way, Jesus was numbered with the transgressors and buried with the rich. Isaiah 53, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Did Joseph know he was fulfilling prophecy? I doubt it. He loved Jesus. But just because the secondary means doesn't know it, doesn't mean that the first means isn't happening and purposing that it would happen that way. And the women who'd been with Jesus the whole time, following him, they also, quote, watched how his body was laid. So his body's wrapped. They go to the tomb, they watch Jesus' body be placed in there. The stone is rolled in front of it. They return home and prepare spices. Apparently, additional spices. Because in another account, we are told that Joseph, and with the preparation of Jesus' body initially, a large amount of spices are put on his body. I want to say over 100 pounds of spices and ointments. But apparently they're going to do more after they rest on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Upon arriving, the stone is rolled away already. Going inside, they do not find the body of Jesus, but two angels instead. They're said to be in dazzling apparel. I don't know what that means. Maybe very, very shiny and bright. Maybe glittery, Lydia? Not sure. Dazzling apparel. And the women, as is almost always the case, are afraid and bow to the ground. And the angel asks, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember, he told you this would happen in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And after the women, after they thought about it, they remembered that he had said that. Listen, we read something this morning. The wicked knew that Jesus had said this. This escaped my notice while I was preparing for this. But this morning when we read from Matthew, they knew that Jesus had said he was going to rise in 3 days. But somehow his disciples have completely forgotten this point. But the wicked who crucified him, they remember and they say, put some guards over there because he was telling people he was going to rise. The disciples will go steal the body and we'll have a huge mess. Go watch the tomb. Isn't that interesting? His words did not escape their notice, even though they used them for the wrong purpose. Well, after that, they return from the tomb and they tell everybody what happened. The Bible says Mary Magdalene was there, Joanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women. So, plural, there's at least two more, perhaps even more. Five people or more come back and tell them what happened. When we got there, the stone was rolled away. Jesus was not there. What we found and said was the linen, do you know the linen that he was wrapped in? It was folded up neatly inside. By the way, if somebody stole the body, they're not going to take off the linen shroud first and then fold it up nicely. It's not going to happen. You would just take the body with the linen, wouldn't you? Would you want to touch the dead body directly? Why would they strip him down first? That makes no sense at all. They bring the account to the disciples. We discussed this. And they tell them everything that they saw and heard. And to the disciples, they are received as idle tale tellers. Like, what? Y'all are crazy. Didn't it ring a bell that Jesus had said he was going to rise? It's been 3 days. And listen, by the way, I do point out people's lack of faith and lack of understanding in the scriptures. But we lack it too, all the time. All the things that we know about God, the deep doctrines of God, the blessings, we don't grasp them and take hold of them as we ought to. We're not who we wish we would be. But I still want to point it out. They should have known. The wicked knew. When they come back, they tell him, hey, guess what? It's been 3 days. He wasn't there. They're like, idle tale. I don't understand, except that they were just blinded and not able to see it yet. The scripture tells us that Peter rose and ran to check it out, and he did see Jesus was gone. Where? He didn't know. Well, that brings us to today's text. Let's stand while we read the Word of God, verse 13 through 35. Luke 24, 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were there gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Amen. You may be seated. Two disciples of Jesus are walking to a village called Emmaus. The commentators say it was about a 2-hour walk from Jerusalem. That makes sense. 7 miles. You walkers, can you walk 7 miles in 2 hours? I'd be pretty tired, I think, but I guess you can. 7 miles, they're walking and talking together about, quote, all these things that had happened. While walking and discussing, they're met by Jesus, who starts walking with them, but they didn't know it was him. The Bible says, quote, their eyes are kept from recognizing him. I don't know what that means exactly. Did he just change their vision so that he looked like somebody else? Did he change his actual appearance so that he would look like somebody else? I don't know. What we're told is they didn't recognize him. They were kept from recognizing him. Listen, it's a good thing to talk with others about spiritual things, isn't it? These men are walking on the road, talking. This is not about things that don't matter. Very important things that they're discussing. And listen, I'm not going to say that chit-chat is not profitable. It is. I've gotten to know y'all a lot better through chit-chat. But hopefully the relationship matures, right? And there's less and less of the chit-chat and more about things that are beneficial to both of us. Well, let's take it to heart. We waste so much time talking about things that don't matter. And you know why? They're easy. They're easy. And things that do matter are often complicated and difficult. And sometimes we don't have an appetite for it. We'd rather have junk food. We'd rather have a banana. It's real easy to eat quickly, right? Steak, it's kind of tough to chew. Pray, ask God to help you with that. If Brother Hal was here, he would say, Amen! You know he would. Remember that? People talk about things and people or ideas. And he was very much in favor of talking about ideas. Sharpen each other. Use your opportunities. Part of the reason why God wants us to meet is that we would sharpen one another, encourage one another. If you just kind of stay back and don't talk and leave as soon as possible, I'm I know people have reasons for what they do, but you'll miss some of the sharpening that you would get. You'll miss the blessing of Malachi chapter 3, quote, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says Jehovah of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Why did God put them in the book? Because they feared God and they spoke to one another about him. And the Lord paid attention, quote, and heard them. Also Hebrews, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews chapter 10. They're walking on the road, they're talking. Jesus starts walking with them, but they don't know it's him. Verse 17, what are y'all talking about? Right? I'm sure that's how Jesus said it. What are y'all talking about? And the Bible says they stood still looking sad. They almost don't want to say it again because it's a sad tale. Did they stop walking even at that point? The Bible says they stood still. So are they walking and walking, and when he asks the question, they stop? I'm not sure exactly. But they're sad as they begin to recount these things. Verse 18, Cleopas, we are told, the only one of these two that's named. Some people try to say it's Peter. It's not Peter. They go back and tell the 11 later. It's not Peter. They answer this person that they don't know is Jesus. Are you being serious right now? You don't know all these things that have happened? Every single person in Jerusalem, that is the only thing they're talking about. Are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Are you alone in the city? And I'm not sure that they're being rude. They just can't believe that this person doesn't know what's been going on. These things are all that everyone's talking about. Verse 19, Jesus says, what things? Now, he's not ignorant of what's happened. It happened to him. He knows what's happened very intimately. And he knows what they've been talking about, too. He wants them to recount it again so that they can hear it in their own ears and it can be a teaching moment. They answer, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They are disciples. They seem to be believers, but they're immature. They're not where they ought to be. Verse 20, the chief priests delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. So far, so good, right? Everything they're saying is exactly right. But then we see that they missed a huge chunk of Jesus' message. They didn't remember that Jesus said he was going to be delivered, that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to lay down his life, and that later he would rise. This is not... Somehow people couldn't conceive of it, right? Even Peter, oh Lord, that's not going to happen. We'll fight for you. He's like, you don't even know what you're saying, Peter. You're going to deny me three times in the next 24 hours. But they just can't conceive of this. This is the man who tells a rainstorm to stop, and it does. How can any humans overthrow and kill him? He tells evil spirits to leave, and they do. These two on the road, they missed a big part. They missed it. Verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. In their statement, they're kind of saying, maybe he wasn't. He was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, before God and the people. The chief priests, they crucified him. And we're sad. We were hoping he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. They missed it. They don't remember. Jesus' disciples, did they not share this with the disciples that they made? In Luke chapter 18, the Bible says that Jesus, taking the 12, said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." And listen, the Bible gives us some insight. Perhaps this they didn't tell anyone. But, quote, "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." Luke 18:31. How is it the religious rulers grasped it? That he had at least claimed he was going to rise from the dead. But his own disciples didn't. I don't know, except that it was hidden from them. And it seems to have been hidden from these two that Jesus is walking with. The crucifixion of Jesus to them means Jesus isn't the Redeemer that we hoped he was. He died as a criminal. We know he wasn't, but shameful death. They had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And he was. He redeemed the Israel of God from their sin. But they didn't understand this. They're confused. They're looking for national and political salvation. But Jesus said repeatedly, even after they tried to take him by force and make him king, said, "No, this world is not my kingdom. My kingdom is, quote, not of this world. It's bigger than that." This is what they're missing. Every time they are looking for Jesus to overthrow the Romans or overthrow the wicked Pharisees, they're missing the bigger picture. Jesus' kingdom is bigger than national revival of the Jews. It's way bigger than that. Yes, starting in Jerusalem, but his kingdom is global. I mean, if you think about it, if you really think about Israel, it's only because God is at work there that it has any significance in the world. It's a tiny little speck on the earth with a handful of people. Compared to other countries, I mean, I think now the population is 6 million. India has, what, 1.3 billion? The kingdom, how many Christians are there in India? Millions. What about China? Millions. It's way bigger than national Israel. God is saving people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. But they missed it. Verse 25. I don't think that Jesus is saying this, calling them fools as in the wicked are fools. I don't think that's what he means, but verse 25, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. You are slow of heart. Don't you remember? Don't you believe what the prophets have said? Quote, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Don't you remember? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is Isaiah 53. But there's many more passages. Beginning, quote 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he showed them the things concerning himself. One commentator said, summarized this very well. Quote, Christ was the substance of every Old Testament sacrifice ordained in the law of Moses. Christ was the true deliverer and king. Christ was the coming prophet greater than Moses. Christ was the true seed of the woman who was to bruise the serpent's head. The true scapegoat. The true brazen serpent. The true Lamb of God to which every daily offering pointed. The true high priest of whom every descendant of Aaron was a figure. Let it be a settled principle in our minds in reading the Bible that Christ is the central sum of the whole book. The key of Bible knowledge is Jesus Christ. And we could go on and on. We could multiply examples. Isn't Joseph a figure of Christ? And really, even as we think about this passage, how Joseph hid himself from his brothers and didn't let them know it was him at first, and how Jesus is hiding himself from these two on the road. Verse 28 through the end, the Bible says that their eyes are open. They sit down. They convince this traveler that they just met on the road. Which we find out in a second that their hearts were burning the whole time they were having this discussion. They convince him to come in. Oh, it's late. Come on. And the Bible says as Jesus broke bread, then they realized it was him. Well, listen, there's a lot of bad ideas about this. They didn't recognize it because he broke bread the same way he had at the Last Supper. These two guys were not there. They weren't there. That was Jesus' disciples, not these two. And one of them there was not Peter. I don't know why people can't just leave it and say, we don't know who they were exactly. We've got to try to name them, figure out some way. The point is, Jesus showed them in the scriptures the parts that they were missing. They believed he was a prophet, and he was. And that was good that they believed that. But they somehow, everybody close to him, failed to see, even though he taught it to them repeatedly, I have to suffer and die. It's part of the prophecy. It has to happen this way. I'm going to be the ransom price for my people. And when you go to the tomb on the third day and I'm not there, don't be surprised. I told you I was going to rise. Well, they are all very surprised and forgetful. And again, here, as we think about these two who are slow to believe everything, we are too. You know, don't judge with a critical eye. And according to the same measure that you measure, it will be measured unto you. We all have many areas that we need to grow up. And they definitely needed to grow up. Jesus helped them to see. He helped them to understand. In verse 33, they run and tell the others that they had seen Jesus and he is in fact alive. They corroborate the story that the women had told them. And God willing, next time we'll finish up our study in Luke. Jesus is the central sum of the whole book. The key of Bible knowledge is Jesus Christ. You may have heard me be critical in the past of, quote, Bible scholars that aren't believers. And I almost think that should be illegal. If you don't believe he's the Christ, how can you talk about the scriptures that are spiritual? The natural man doesn't understand things of the spirit. Right? It's foreign. It's like if you started speaking Russian to me now, I might could tell it was some sort of Eastern language, but I wouldn't know what you were saying. The Bible describes that. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. Like you taught us a couple weeks ago. Those who are obedient, they revealed the secret, the mystery, a special blessing. If you seek to do my will, you'll know the doctrine. It's like, it's interesting. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that you'd protect us from looking at it like just normal, paid, normal words and sentences and paragraphs and chapters. Surely the Bible does contain that, but it's more, so much more. Would you help us that we would study the Bible in humility, that we would pray for your Holy Spirit to give us understanding that we wouldn't have as just natural men. Father, we cry for spiritual wisdom, and not just wisdom, but the desire to do what we know to be right. Please, Lord, help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.